You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
Among the local taverns, there'll be a slack in business, 'cause Jesse's drinking came before the groceries and the rent. And among the local women, there'll be a slack in cheap, 'cause Jesse won't be stepping out again. They baptized Jesse Taylor in Cedar Creek last Sunday. Jesus gained the soul and Satan lost the good right arm. They all cried hallelujah when Jesse's head went under, because this time he went under for the Lord. Scars on Jesse's knuckles were more than just respected. The county courthouse records tell all there is to tell. The pockets and the pockets of the dealers will soon miss Jesse's money, and the black eye of the law will soon be well. They baptized Jesse Taylor in Cedar Creek last Sunday. Jesus gained the soul and Satan lost a good right arm. They all cried hallelujah when Jesse's head went under, because this time he went under for the Lord.
This is the best part.
You know, from now on, Nancy Taylor, she can proudly talk to her neighbors. She can tell them how much Jesse took up with little Jim. Now Jimmy's got a daddy, old Jesse's got his family, and Franklin County's got a lot more man. They baptized Jesse Taylor in Cedar Creek last Sunday. Jesus gained a soul and Satan lost a good right arm. They all cried hallelujah when Jesse's head went under, because this time he went under for the Lord. I said they baptized Jesse Taylor in Cedar Creek last Sunday. Jesus gained a soul and Satan lost a good right arm. They all cried hallelujah when old Jesse's head went under, because this time he went under for the Lord. I said this time he went under for the Lord. Baptize that boy. Amen.
Man, it's great to be back with you. Our church just finished a week of what we call revival. And I told somebody a while ago, I said, I don't know in my lifetime if I've ever seen true revival or not, but I think our church is on the brink of it, and which I'm really praising God for. He's doing some amazing things. Now, I want to talk to you tonight about your heritage from the Lord. So if you got your Bibles, I want you to go to Isaiah 54. I shared this with the Joy Club here the other day, and I want to share it with you. It's what I've been working on for my church coming up this next week. So they're going to get it. I told Leland a while ago, I said, maybe the third time I preach it, I'll have it down. So anyway, but heritage from the Lord. Go to the very last verse in chapter 54. I want to read you the very last verse, then we're going to go back and hit some of the verses prior to that. But the very last verse there in chapter 54 of Isaiah, I'll give you another minute to turn, because I still hear pages turning. Heritage from the Lord is a wonderful thing. And I tell you what, today I've been on cloud nine. Part of the reason that I've been up so high today is that last night, my youngest son, Daniel, I've got three sons. I've got a 15-year-old about to be 16. I've got a 13-year-old and I've got a 10-year-old. And my baby got saved last night. And, man, I tell you, I'm just floating on air today. And talking about the heritage of the Lord, it means something because the Lord Jesus Christ has given me a heritage. And He's allowed to be true in my life. Many things we're going to talk about tonight. And it'll be true in your life as well as you follow Him. So if you're there, look at the 17th verse and then we'll go back and get the other ones. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Every tongue which rises against you in judgment you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. And their righteousness is from me, says the Lord. Now let's pray and ask God just to bless us and teach us tonight. And I'm going to get you out of here on time, okay? Father, we love you. We praise you so very much for all that you're doing in the life of your people, in the life of your church, Lord God. We pray in Odessa, Texas, across this city, amongst all the local bodies that are here, it's all your body, Lord. Whatever church they find themselves in, your saints, Lord, make up your body. Make up your bride. I pray you'll bless it. I pray that we'll bring honor and glory to you. And I pray, Lord God, that you'll bring revival in your church. We'll yield. We'll submit. And truly, we will be revived. And Lord, we will go out and get souls for the kingdom. Thank you, Jesus. We love you. We praise you. And it is in your name we pray. Amen. All right, we're going to look at this passage tonight, and let me just tell you, if He can make all of this true for the nation of Israel, and some of this that we see tonight, that was immediately fulfilled in the life and times of Isaiah, right after they went into Babylonian captivity, they were carried away, this is given to the southern kingdom, they were carried away into Babylonian captivity, they came out some 70 years after that, and some of this was fulfilled in the life of God's people in that day. Now, some of it is yet to be fulfilled as you study Isaiah. There's an element of prophecy to it. And when Jesus returns, we'll see a fuller fulfillment in the millennial kingdom. But some of it we can take and we can apply it to the life of His people today, of His church today. And so that's what I want to do tonight is I want to look at this and see what applies to us today. Okay, what is the heritage of the servants of the Lord? And let me tell you something, you personalize this. Every one of you, if you've trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're a servant of the Lord. You're part of the body of Christ. You're part of the bride of Jesus Christ. That's another picture that's used in Scripture. That's you. And the Bible says you are a saint. That's not something the church confers upon you. That's what the Bible calls you when you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. You are a saint, set apart, sanctified for the work of the Lord. And you have a heritage. And so these are incredible things said just to you and to me as the servants of the Lord. Now I was thinking, before we really hit all this Scripture, I want to just kind of reminisce for just a moment. I was thinking about when I grew up, Morton, Texas. I don't know if any of you know where Morton, Texas is or not. But just a little. There you go. Okay, there you go. Thank you. That's it. There's not many of us. But I was thinking about when I was a kid, and I'd go out on the playground, and we'd choose up teams to play ball. And I was never picked last, but I was never picked first either. You know, and sometimes I was picked a little closer to last, and sometimes I was picked a little closer to first, depending on who was out there. But you know, and there was always that one person that, you know, wasn't a very good athlete that was kind of left to the very, very last, and they were standing, nobody wanted them, the last person last team captain had to pick them. And you know, and I thought, but here's the deal with Jesus. Jesus wants you on His team. He wants you. He desires you. He's not going to leave you standing out there not to be picked, not to be chosen. He desires you to be in His kingdom on His team. And as such, He has a heritage for you. And let's just lay that out tonight. First of all, I want you to look at those first three verses in chapter 54 and look at what it says. It says, "Sing, O barren, you who have not born. Break forth into singing and you cry aloud. You who have not labored with child, for more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married woman, says the Lord. Enlarge the place of your tent and let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Do not spare. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes, for you shall expand to the right and to the left, and your descendants will inherit the nations and make the desolate cities inhabited. We get a picture here of an expanding nation. As the people of God, God wants us to expand. He wants us to grow. He has much for us. And He says to a woman here, you were barren. He says to His children, you were barren, but I have something for you. He says, you were without a place, but I have a place for you. You were desolate, but now you are inhabited. God had blessing for His people. He wanted them to grow. And He wants the church today to grow. And He wants you as an individual to grow. We have a dear friend, a couple, that early in their marriage, they had a difficult time conceiving a child. And she had three pregnancies that were all ended prematurely, all ended badly. She had an ectopic pregnancy, she had a couple of miscarriages, and great heartache in her. And I remember just how she yearned to have a child, how she wanted to have a child, and God blessed them, and ultimately they have three children today. But I remember the heartache that was in her. She didn't want to be barren. She wanted to have children. She wanted that type of a heritage. Now listen, a nation wants to grow. The church wants to grow. Individuals in Christ ought to want to grow. We ought not to want to be barren. We ought not want to be desolate. And we don't have to be in Christ. Christ wants us to grow as the church and as individuals. And so you take that and you personalize that and say, yes, Lord, whatever you have for me, I want to grow in that. Now listen to this scripture right here, and you don't have to turn there, but let me just read it to you. Luke chapter 24, verse 46 through 48. Then He said to them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, and you are witnesses of these things. He's saying, listen, beginning with Jerusalem, this message is going to go out. And I want the church to grow. And every single one of you here tonight, if you know Christ, you're part of the church. If you don't, He wants you to be a part of the church. And He desires growth in your life. He wants an expanding nation that is part of the heritage of God. But it doesn't just stop there. There's more. I don't know if you remember the old Ronco commercials or not, but wait, there's more. You know, it always adds something else. There's more. Part of the heritage of God also is this, that there is a forgiveness also that is given to us. Isn't that good news? Now look at verse 4. He says, do not fear, for you will not be ashamed. Neither be disgraced, for you will not be put to shame. For you will forget the shame of your youth. Isn't that good that we can put that away? Will not remember the reproach of your widowhood anymore, for your Maker is your husband. The Lord of hosts is His name, and your Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel. He is called the God of the whole earth. For the Lord has called you like a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit, like a youthful wife when you were refused, says your God. For a mere moment I have forsaken you, but with great mercies I will gather you. With a little wrath I hid my face from you for a moment. But with everlasting kindness, I will have mercy on you, says the Lord your Redeemer. For this is like the waters of Noah to me. For as I have sworn that the waters of Noah would no longer cover the earth, so have I sworn that I would not be angry with you nor rebuke you. For the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from you, nor shall my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord, who has mercy on you. Aren't you glad that your reproach is removed? Aren't you glad that everything that you've done can be forgiven? That there's nothing so horrible that you've done that it cannot be forgiven. That it outstrips the mercy and the kindness of God. It doesn't. There's nothing so awful that you can ever do that God can't reach out and save you and forgive you. You see, part of the heritage of the Lord is not just that He grows you, but that He has incredible forgiveness. Look at how much you have been forgiven. Look at how wonderful the grace and the mercy of God is for His people. How loving a God He is. How merciful a God He is. And listen, you can be forgiving of others when you realize how much you have been forgiven. Man, God forgives and forgives and forgives. Isn't that incredible? Luke 7 and 47 says, "Therefore, I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little." You know, a woman there before those men, they were looking down on her. And he says, listen, her sins were great, but much forgiveness there. She loves much. She shows that love much because she realizes how much she has been forgiven. Let me tell you something. The older I get, and I didn't understand this as a young man, the more I realize how much I've been forgiven. So I grew up in church. So I kind of had this thought that I was a pretty good fella. I didn't realize how rotten I was. But the older I get, the more I realize how rotten I was and how rotten apart from Christ I am. I realize what's in my head that nobody else knows. The thoughts that are in my heart that nobody else knows. The place where Jesus says murder begins, right down here inside of me. The hateful thoughts that I have, the lustful thoughts that I have, the adultery that I've committed in my mind, I realize all of that. And I realize I wasn't nearly as good as what I thought I was. The older I get, the more I know how much I've been forgiven. And the more precious it is to me. Man, what an incredible thing it is to have a heritage from the Lord that includes not only that He wants to grow me in my life and as part of the church, an expanding nation, but He has forgiveness for me as well. But here's something else. Wait, there's more. When Jesus picks you for His team, He's got even more for you. So if you look at the next verses, you're going to see not just the growth, not just the forgiveness, but you're going to see a foundation for your life. Now look down in verse 11. Verse 11 through 14, He says, "Oh, you afflicted one, tossed with the tempest and not comforted. Behold, I will lay your stones with colorful gems, and I'll lay your foundations with sapphires. I'll make your pinnacles of rubies and your gates of crystal and all your walls of precious stones. And all your children shall be taught by the Lord, and great shall be the peace of your children. In righteousness you shall be established. You shall be far from oppression. You shall not fear and from terror, for it shall not come near you." Can you see the foundation that God lays? All those precious stones, what does that mean? It means He lays the perfect foundation for your life. Because Jesus is the chief cornerstone. When you feel like your life is just absolutely just on the stormy seas and you're just going back and forth, and there is no solid foundation. Part of the heritage of the saints is this. God says, "I'll give you a foundation. I'll give you a place on which to stand." He is the one that says, "I'll take your feet out of the miry clay where it seems like you are sinking down, and I will set you upon the solid rock." The psalmist further says in Psalm 27:5, "For in the time of trouble He shall hide me in His pavilion, and in the secret place of His tabernacle He shall hide me, and He shall set my feet upon a rock." I'm so glad of that. I told the folks the other day, a dear friend by the name of Reuben, and I met Reuben years ago. And he was just coming out of the oil field, and he had to retire because he was losing his vision. He found out that he had diabetes right about the point where he found out he was losing his vision. He'd had it for a lot of years and just hadn't paid much attention to it. And so as this all came to, the doctors diagnosed him, and it all came up and found out, man, I've got diabetes, and I didn't pay any attention to the signs, and now I'm losing my vision. So I was in my office one day, and I just really felt the Lord tugging on my heart to go speak to Reuben, just to go to his house. He hadn't called me or anything. I'm not one that just likes to go unannounced, but this brother right down here said, you know, the Lord sometimes speak to you and say, go speak to a person. He spoke to me that day. He said, go speak to this person. And so I got up out of my chair, got in the car, went down there, knocked on his door, sat down with him, and we visited for a while. I said, Reuben, I said, I really feel like the Lord has instructed me to come by and talk to you because I don't know what your spiritual condition is. Don't know if you're saved or not. And he began to cry. A grown man, been in the oil field his whole life, began to cry. And he said, I don't believe I am. And he said, I wouldn't be ready. If I were to die right now, I wouldn't be ready. I don't think I would go to heaven. I don't think I've got a relationship with Christ. Right there in his living room, the man prayed to receive Christ. And it was just an amazing thing that God did in his life. And the next Sunday morning, he came down the aisle, just tears in his eyes. And he came down and he took my hand and prayed with me. And he said, I want to tell you something. He said, I've been living in this darkness. And he said, not just the physical darkness, but the spiritual darkness. And he said, there's light in my life. And he said, I'm not scared anymore. That's what Jesus does. But you see, Reuben didn't know where he was going, didn't know what he was doing. But all of a sudden, Jesus had given him a solid foundation. Jesus had brought light into his life. He'd taken him out of the miry clay and set him upon the rock. That's part of the heritage that the Lord brings. I loved Reuben, got to know him. And, you know, one day his wife, Debbie, this part of the story is so funny to me. She came to me and she said, Reuben can't drive anymore, but he's bought a bicycle. And he's riding that bicycle around because he's got a little vision out of the side of his eye. So he's riding that bicycle around, you know, trying to look as he's going down the street. She said, he's crossing Main Street down there. I said, oh, Debbie, I said, just let him. I said, he got to have some freedom in life. Let him do this. Let him do it, you know. And I said, he's trusting the Lord. And I said, you know, if a car hits him, he's going to go to heaven. And that didn't comfort her too much. She wasn't too excited about that. And so later, Reuben caught me and he said, hey, I got a word with you. He said, I hear that you don't mind if I get on my bicycle and go play in the traffic. It's all right with you. And I said, yeah, Reuben. I said, I just know the Lord's got you. But man, that guy's got a peace in his life. God gave him a foundation. He gave him a solid foundation where his house was not faltering. And God did amazing things in that family. That's part of the heritage of the Lord. Moving quickly, there's another thing here, though. He gives us a protecting strength as well. Look in the last part of verse 14 and following. You shall be far from oppression. You shall not fear, and from the terror, for it shall not come near you. Indeed, they shall surely assemble, but not because of me. Whoever assembles against you shall fall for your sake. Behold, I have created the blacksmith who blows the coals in the fire, who brings forth an instrument for his work. I have created the spoiler to destroy. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue which rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. What is that? That is the protection of the Lord. That's protecting strength. And so we can walk, we can live, we can move in Jesus Christ, and we don't have to fear. You see, it's incredible. One of my friends called me today. He was getting on a plane to fly to Pennsylvania. And he said, I'm sitting here and I'm having trouble praying. He said, I'm praying the Lord will protect me when I get on this plane and I go up to Pennsylvania. And he said, but at the same time, I'm praying, Lord, if something does happen, will you protect my family? He said, do I lack faith in that? And I said, no, you just trust in the sovereignty of God. Because you win either way. If the Lord says, yeah, you got another day on this earth, I said, He'll get you to your destination and get you back. But I said, if that does not happen and you die and something happens, guess what? You win anyway. See, I'm a winner any way it happens. If God takes my life tonight, I win. I graduate. I get to be in His presence. But if He leaves me here, man, it's more stuff for me to do for Jesus. That's why Paul said, for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. I'm hard pressed between the two. I don't know which to choose. For me to stay here is more living for Christ. For me to go is gain and to be with Christ. And you win either way. I said, Tommy, you're just trusting in the sovereignty of God. Just trust in Him because He brings strength to your life. Psalm 71 says this, I have become as a wonder to many, but you are my strong refuge. Let my mouth be filled with your praise, with the glory all the day. Do not cast me off in the time of old age. Do not forsake me when my strength fails. He is always, always our protection. And finally, the very last thing is this, He gives us as part of our heritage a righteousness. Do you hear the last part of that verse when I read it? Let me step back. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Every tongue which rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, says the Lord. Now, I'm so glad that part of my heritage is that I have a righteousness from God. It is not my own. Because as I said a while ago, there ain't much good in me. There is not anything good in me. No one is good, the Bible says. No, not one. The only thing good in me is God's Holy Spirit in me, is Jesus in me. That's it. And so I have a righteousness that has been brought to me from Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 5 says this, for He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. Romans 4, 6-8, Paul says, just as David also describes the blessedness of the man to whom God imputes righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord shall not impute sin. See, God looks at you. If you know Jesus, here's the wonderful thing. God looks at you and you know what He sees? He doesn't see all the messed up stuff. He doesn't see all the sin. He sees Christ's righteousness on you. The imputed righteousness of Christ. Because why? Because all the sin that you had came out on Jesus at the cross. It was imputed to Him and He imputes His righteousness to you. We have a righteousness that's not our own. You see, you think you got nothing? You got, if you're in Christ, you got everything. If you're in Christ, you're truly rich. If you are born again. Nicodemus came to Jesus. And he said, what must I do to enter the kingdom of heaven? Jesus said, you must be born again. Nicodemus, teacher of the law, he didn't understand. What, does a man become a baby again, enter his mother's womb? He didn't understand. For God so loved the world. He gave His only begotten Son. Whosoever believes in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. That's what it is. That's what it means to be born again. Trusting in Him with your life. Giving your life to Him. And when you do that, when you ask Jesus to save you, He does. He does. And He gives you His righteousness. You are spiritually rich whenever you give your life to Christ. You have a heritage. We can see all these truths in here, and I think as they are applied to the people of God, as they're applied to Judah in that day, and ultimately during Jesus' millennial kingdom, whenever He returns again, we can take that and we can say, hey, but that applies to the church as well. That's the heritage that we have, that you have, as part of the church of the living God. You go run with that. That will sustain you. That will keep you moving. That will keep you going. Let me pray over you tonight. I'm going to turn it back over to Leland. Father, I love You so much. I love You passionately. I thank You, Lord, that You gave a word in Isaiah's day that applied to them. And that it's going to apply one of these days when You call Your children Israel back to Yourself. When You call them to You and You save them. Lord, I thank You, Lord, that we can find those principles in there that apply to us today. I thank You that You give us a heritage where we, if we don't have a dime to our name, we can truly be rich, truly be wealthy spiritually, Lord God, by the heritage that You give us. Thank You, Jesus, for everything that You bring to our lives. I love You, Jesus, and I pray it all in Your name. In Jesus, it's in Your name that we do pray it. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Would you stand to your feet with heads bowed and eyes closed? No one looking around. Just look in. Look into you. And tonight, maybe for the first time, you realized you don't have that heritage. You don't have that foundation. You don't have that peace. And you want it. Brother Ivy just told you how to get it. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So what I'd like for you to do tonight, as Charles B. sings, would you come and trust Christ as your Savior? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, nobody looking around, it'll never be easier. I need Thee every hour. Would you come right now? This will be the last verse if no one comes. I need Thee every hour. You know what God would have you to do. Now's the time to do it. you have a question, there'll be someone here that can go to the Bible and answer it for you. Would you come? Say, I'll take Jesus as my Savior. Our precious Heavenly Father, we thank you for these that are here tonight. We thank you for the message. Most of all, we thank you that you're our foundation. You said, other foundation can no man lay but that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus, our Lord. We're glad that's all we have to do is turn to Him. Now, Father, those that didn't do what they should have done, Father, would you give them another chance? Would you let them have another opportunity to trust you? Go with them. Father, as we leave here, protect us, watch over us, and help us to do what you'd have us to do. Help us to be good ambassadors for you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Refreshment bar's open. Go by and tell Brother Ivy you enjoyed the message.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.